Well, today we are continuing in the series of messages in the book of Revelation. And today I have entitled the message, Rodeo After the Rapture. There it is. Now, because this is somewhat of a dark message, you can't talk about the tribulation unless it is dark, all right? And the background that I had was this beautiful sun ray that came through the clouds, and everything was light and fluffy and grand. And see, that's what heaven's like, but it's not going to be like that on earth. And so I needed to try to bring a background that would depict a little darkness. And when I was looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, everything I found was ghoulish. I mean, it had skulls and skeletons, and I don't know if the riders are going to be skeletons. I don't know. You know, it doesn't tell us. But I do know it's dark. And so that's why I have that background this morning. So we are continuing in the series of messages in the book of Revelation. We're looking this morning at the rodeo after the rapture. Now, God had been talking to John, and he says, I want you to write down the things that you have seen. I want you to write down the things that are, and I want you to write down the things that shall be. And we know the things that are that he has seen is in chapter 1. And we know that the things that are is in chapters 2 and 3, which is the seven churches of the Revelation. And the seven churches of the Revelation, we know, are seven literal churches that John was writing to at that time. But it's also representing seven different church ages from the resurrection of Christ into our present church age. It also represents, those seven churches represent seven different attitudes that are prevalent and present in our churches today. So he says, write down the things that you have seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be. Now, he's showing us the things that shall be is basically chapters 4 through the rest of the book. And we know that chapters 4 and 5 are taking place in the heavenlies, as chapters 6 through 19 are taking place here on earth. So it's really nice and heavenly and great and grand and glorious going on in heaven, but here on earth is tribulation. And it's very dark, it's very gloomy, and it's not a pretty sight. Whenever you see the word scrolls in the Bible, it's looking at a book. And many times these would be scrolls, and they would be wrapped up, they'd be rolled up, and then they'd be sealed. And then there would be another scroll wrapped around it, so that it would be impossible to open up a scroll in the wrong order. So this scroll is rolled up and sealed, and another scroll is rolled around it and sealed, and another scroll is rolled around it and sealed. And many times when someone was making a last will and testament in that day, they would use these scrolls and they'd put them in order so that this scroll was talking about the house. Who gets the house? This scroll talks about the land. Who gets the land? This scroll talks about all the possessions. And so who gets the possessions? And this scroll talks about all of the cattle and the livestock and things of that nature. So it was opened up in order. There's a specific order with God. And God wants things done in order. And so that's why he had John write these things down, which shall be. So we have to remember, Revelation is not written chronologically. Chapters 4 and 5 are taking place here in the heavenlies, and chapters 6 through 19 are taking place here on earth. So as we read this morning, we should be able to see that these four horsemen are the four manifestations of Satan. They are the four manifestations of Satan in the person of Antichrist. And what Satan is able to accomplish during that time. And so we're going to see how the first scroll is opened up and the second scroll and what John sees in all of these things. So turn with me this morning to Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to look at the very first two verses of chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, beginning now in verse 1. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. He says, "And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for the labor of love that many have done this week so that the Vacation Bible School that you are bringing to this church, that it is going to come alive into the lives of many this week, many boys and girls that are going to hear the message being proclaimed. And Father God, we thank you for that labor of love that has come forth this week. Father, we pray for blessings in their lives. We pray for each one that is going to work, each one that is going to serve, each one that's going to cook, each one that's going to help them to recreate and make things in the crafts and to learn and to teach. And Father God, we thank you that you are involving so many people in this church that you might bring forth a mighty harvest. And Father God, we thank you for each child that's going to be here. Be with us this day. Help us to see, Father, what is going to take place in the future when the church is raptured away. And Father, when all hell truly breaks loose. And we pray, Father, that you would give us a glimpse of that today through your word. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. God's talking to John and says, "Write down the things that you've seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be." And so John is writing these things down, and he sees that the first scroll is opened, and he sees, first of all, a white horse and rider. That white horse and rider, as I said before, is the manifestation of Satan in the person of Antichrist. Now, he says that this white horse and rider comes forth on the scene. We know that the white horse and rider actually is bringing war because it says he goes forth to conquer and to conquer. So he brings forth a bow. I don't know if any of you have ever been hunting. Some of you, I know, have. Some of you have been out to town hall when we go out and we will exercise our ability and our expertise to try to hit the target with an arrow. But did you notice? It says that he had a bow. Had no arrow. So how bad is a bow by itself? What's he going to do? Whack you with it? It says that he's given a crown. See, I truly believe that this white horse is Antichrist and he is being the deceiver. He's being the deceiver. There are men, I suppose, as well as women, that have gone into drugstores, grocery stores, convenience stores, and they leave their hand in their pocket and they say a gun in their pocket. "I have a gun. Give me all your money." Well, they really don't have a gun. They have their finger in their shirt or in their coat pocket or something, and they're deceiving. And see, that's what we see here. He's got a bow, He doesn't have any arrows. He's the deceiver. He's got a crown that has been given to him, but he didn't earn it. He's got a crown that says he's somebody. Wow. Satan will always deceive. Amen? That's his MO. That's his mode of operation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created everything that there is in, and he gave it all to Adam and Eve, and he said, all of this is yours. You can partake of all the fruits of the trees, but this one, don't eat it. For in the day that you eat of the tree, this tree, you're going to die. And Satan came to Eve because he knew he could not deceive Adam. But he knew Adam had a soft spot in his heart for Eve. And if Satan was able to twist things and get Eve to do it, then she could then betray Adam. Oops. The fall of mankind. So Satan comes. He said, God knows that you're not going to die. For in the day that you eat of that tree of knowledge, you're going to have the knowledge of God. He doesn't want any competition. He doesn't want you to be like him. So he told you not to eat it. Oh, you need to partake of this. This is a lovely fruit. And Eve ate and gave to her husband also. You know, they had been in the Garden of Eden with God. The Bible says that they walked with God in the cool of the day. They communed with him. They fellowshipped with him. They had a great relationship. They were as God had created them. And there was no shame in their person or in their being. But when they ate of the tree of knowledge, their eyes were opened and they saw themselves as naked. And they hid themselves. For they were ashamed. Then God had to kill an animal in order to get that skin from that animal and to cover them. And that animal shed his blood on the ground because of Adam and Eve's sin. And that's why the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Satan's a deceiver. Satan will tell you one little drink's not going to hurt you. And it won't. There's nothing in the Bible against drinking. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor, you're a Baptist preacher. Certainly you know it's wrong to drink. No, it's wrong to get drunk. Did you hear what it said? It's wrong to get drunk. Are you condoning drinking? No. If you don't want to get drunk, don't drink. You can't drink. You can't ever get drunk if you don't drink. There are some people that don't have that ability to control. And Satan will deceive you. And that's what his MO is. He will deceive you and let you know that what you're doing is just fine when what you're doing is not just fine. But it's breaking God's law and it's breaking his heart. Because Christ went to the cross to die, that we'd have a relationship with God. That's why Christ went. Because in our sinful state, we cannot commune or be in a relationship with God. Oh, this white horse, this white rider, he is there as Antichrist to deceive, but he's also Antichrist the counterfeiter. He is a counterfeit. That's why he is Antichrist. He portrays himself to be Christ, but he's not. Look with me, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Notice what it says. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice also, John chapter 5, verse 43. He says, I have come in my Father's name, and you received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That's talking about Antichrist. That's talking about the one that comes in his own name. He is the one that is wearing the crown. He is the one that's carrying the bow. See, that white horse and rider is Satan. It's the manifestation of Satan in the person of Antichrist, and he is a counterfeit. It's amazing all of the garbage that we are supposed to believe today. Have you ever heard of the psychic network? Have you ever seen that stuff on TV or heard it on the radio? And you're supposed to call in and they'll give you your fortune? It'll cost you a fortune. That's the way they make their money. Guess what? Nothing is free. Nothing is free. But I wonder why they even exist. If the psychic network was truly psychic, wouldn't they be millionaires and billionaires? Wouldn't they have won the lottery umpteen times? Why would they be advertising to help anyone and please send us your money and this, that, and the other thing, and we'll help you with your future? Why? Because it's garbage. See, everything that we're supposed to believe is trash. But the truth of Jesus Christ is what is rebelled against today. Oh, the psychic network is great. And there are so many others. Do you know it's a felony to break a spotted owl's egg? It's a felony. But yet we kill innocent babies in the name of abortion every day, and no one says anything about it. What is wrong? I'll tell you what. It's the spirit of Antichrist that's out there in the world, and it's leading the world astray, telling them that everything's just fine. This is what you need to believe in today. It's the white horse and his rider. Well, secondly, we see the red horse and his rider. Look with me, please, in verse 3 of our main text. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The red horse and rider brings bloodshed. And there was given to him a sword. Now, we think of a sword as something that kills people because you stick them with it. Isn't that what we think? Well, see, that's what a knife does. A sword is used differently. A sword is used to divide. When you divide someone's head from their body, yeah, it has the same result, but you're dividing. That's what the sword is doing, is it's dividing. Nation against nation. And we see nations rising up against other nations, making war against other nations. We see race wars going on all the time. One race against another race. It's one being divided against another. Don't you see that in our world today? Why, every time something happens in Washington, D.C., it's the result of race. Truly, is our economy is the result of race. It's ridiculous. But not only that, there are classes of people that will be against one another. The rich against the poor. The classes against the higher classes against the lower classes. It's dividing. You see the wealthy being against the poor. You see neighbors against neighbors. There's entire neighborhoods in Chicago that are against other neighborhoods. They call it gang warfare. Do you know this year so far, there have been over 2,000 people shot in the city of Chicago? Over 2,000 shot in the city of Chicago. That's worse than Afghanistan and Iraq put together. It's a war zone. One neighbor against another neighbor. And it's dividing neighborhoods. It's dividing people. Family against family. Blood against blood. Friends against friends. Whoever is your friend today will be your mortal enemy in that day. Let me tell you why. Because friends know who you are. They know who you are. They know you best. Friends know your escape plan. They know how you are going to defend yourself. And when that friend becomes your enemy, they will use that information against you. And that's going to be the result of the red horse and his rider. It's given power to kill, to murder, to destroy, to literally end someone's life. See, Satan has some power today, but he doesn't have power to end our lives. He can make our lives miserable, and many times he does, and it's a result of the sin that's in our lives. You know, if you don't want a headache or a hangover, don't get drunk. Amen? That's what happens. If you get drunk, you're going to have a headache. All that alcohol is getting flushed out of your body, and it messes with your brain. But in that day, they'll have the power to take your life. You know, and many people that are suicidal, they'll take their life to end their life because it's so miserable. They are so depressed. They are in so much pain, and they think life is just going to be better if they end it. And in this day and age, it could be. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But the Bible tells us to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, if you're a Christian, that is. The Bible says also, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So, but in that day, if your life ends, your sorrow and suffering begins, and it's intensified. Wow. The red horse and rider brings bloodshed, and he has the power to kill and to end your life. Well, we see, thirdly, the black horse and his rider. Look with me, please, in verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This rider had a pair of balances in his hand. What is the balance for? It is to measure. It is to measure. It is to make things equal. It is to, if you need a measure of wheat, which is approximately a pint container, that's a measure of wheat. And a penny in that day was a full day's wages. So you're going to work a full day for a pint of wheat. That's it. That's all you get. And you can grind that wheat up and you can make yourself a little bit of a bread. And see, that black horse and his rider represents the famine that's going to be in the land. Because there are 3 measures of barley for a penny, which is a day's wage. But that barley is not for our consumption. That's for all your livestock. So guess what? One day, you're going to use your day's wages for a pint of wheat, and you're going to make maybe 2 loaves, small loaves, for you and your family. That's all you get. That's all you have. Because the next day, you're going to have to use your penny for your day's wage to feed your livestock. And the longer you live, the skinnier you get. Because of the famine, you're only eating that much wheat and maybe a little bread from a rabbit you got. Who knows? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. It's just one thing after another, because you're buying from people that are trying to sell. And they have the wheat. They have the barley. And that's why it says, and don't hurt the oil or the wine. Guess what? That's talking about the corruption. The total corruption and depravity of those that are wealthy, that are using their wealth at the expense of the poor. Because they too will become poor someday. Because that wheat and that barley is only going to last so long. And then they're going to be in the same boat as everybody else. Oh, it's horrible. The terrible corruption that's taking place. They're trying to take care of their families. They have no money for housing. They have no money for transportation. They have no money for food. They have no money for anything, any kind of comfort. They have no money to take care of themselves. And they are miserable and hungry. Have you ever gone to bed with your stomach growling? Probably not. It's a horrible thing to be hungry and to not have that hunger remedied. That black horse and the rider, he's showing everybody that you are now getting what you reaped. Why? Because the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That balance is there to remind us that God has given us the opportunity. And if you didn't accept that and take that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this balance is for you. And it will be a haunting balance. And that's why this horse is black and his rider is black, because it has no distinguishing figure. But notice, fourthly, the pale horse, which is even worse. Look with me, please, in verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Power to kill a fourth of the population. Wow. A fourth of the population is going to be killed by the sword or by hunger. They're going to be killed by the sword. There's going to be so much bloodshed that when you are at your lowest and those guys come through, those armies, and you have to give everything that you have to them and you hold something back, off with your head. They're killing everybody with the sword. They're killing people just like Osama bin Laden. Just like Hitler, just like ISIS, just like all of those jihadis that believe they're doing what God wants them to do, and they're willing to take your head off with the stroke of a knife, killing with the edge of the sword, killing with hunger, starving people out. See, that's what they used to do, and you can read it in the Old Testament over and over and over again, where the opposing army would just encircle the city, and they'd just wait them out. They'd run out of food, they'd run out of water, and then pretty soon they'd give up. And when that army went in to take control of the city, they'd kill them all. If you were ever fortunate enough to go to Masada in Israel, that was a refuge for about 140, 150 priests and their families. History records that the Roman government wanted Masada. It's a tall place. Herod wanted it for his own palace. And it was so easily defended that many times armies would come and try to attack them, but those priests with just mere spears or arrows would easily defeat an army because they had that height advantage. Well, the Roman army held them at siege for so long that they actually built a road around Masada. And they built it around with this incline that led right up to the front gate. And those priests were smart enough to know that when the Roman soldiers came busting through, their lives would be over. And so it was the responsibility of each man to end the life of everyone in his family and then to take his own life when that day came. They were not going to let the Roman soldiers take their women captive and rape and pillage their community and ultimately kill them and their kids and put them in slavery and so forth. No, 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 that's not going to happen. Their lives will be taken first. The pale horse is death. And the Bible says that hell followed him. Why does it say that? See, death is simply a separation. That's all it is. It's not the end of our life. It's separation. And see, death is the separation between them and God, and hell is following in the background and picking up the remnants of the souls that were never given to Jesus Christ. It's dark. Hell followed death as the dogs follow the larger animals, follow the soldiers to lick up the blood of those that have died. Hell follows death. And hell is that temporary place where a person goes that's torment and suffering. But it's not the permanent place. That permanent place is the lake of fire. And it says that they're going to get killed by the sword and by hunger. Do you know last night over 2,000 children died from starvation worldwide? That's the statistics. 2,000 children die of starvation every day. And it's hard for us to imagine when we wake up from our sleep in a nice soft bed and we eat our breakfast and we eat our lunch and our dinner, and it's hard for us to understand the sufferings in another country. But when you go there and you see these third world countries, who many times they make less than $1,000 a year. I know in Belarus the average income is only $400 a year. That's all they have. Their yards are not there to be mowed with a lawnmower. Do you know they don't have lawnmowers in Belarus? You know what they do? No, they use their land to grow things, their vegetables. They'll have a few pigs, a couple chickens in town. They don't mow their yard. Why, we showed them pictures of our house, and it's like, where's your fence? We don't have a fence. Where's your livestock? We don't have any livestock. Well, what do you do with the grass? We mow it. What? That's completely foreign to them. Why would you just mow the grass when it's beneficial to the animals to eat it? See, when you eat one of their chickens, they keep their chickens for the eggs. Very rarely do they ever slaughter one unless it's a rooster that they don't need. They don't do that with the hens, I'll tell you that, because those hens are egg producers. But they'll take a rooster that's lived out his life, and they'll cook him, you know, slaughter him, dress him out, cook him. But you know what they do then? They take the bones. After everybody's eaten off of those bones, they throw them into a pot and they fill it up with water just to cover up all the bones. And they just boil it and boil it and boil it. And every little loose piece of meat comes off of those bones. They take those bones out and then they put some noodles in there. And that's their chicken and noodle soup. Okay? And then with these bones, they don't throw the bones away. No, 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 no. They put them out in the sun to dry. And when those bones are nice and dry and crisp, they take and they crush them all up and they mix it in with the feed and they feed it back to the chickens because that helps with the strength of the shell of the egg. Oh, nothing is wasted in Belarus. Why? Because the average person only gets $400. The cardboard, because we took our clothes, and I had my shirts all pressed and had cardboard stiffeners in them, and then they were wrapped in the plastic. Oh, they kept the plastic, and when I went to them and said, hey, where's your garbage so I can throw this away? They looked at it and said, no, don't throw that away. We can use that. And they used the plastic to cover dishes in their ice box. Not refrigerator, ice box. They take the cardboard down to the doll maker, who was happy to receive that cardboard and make dolls for us. Why? Because we might be able to give them $6 for a doll that the doll maker made out of the cardboard stiffener from my shirt. They don't have garbage cans. They don't throw anything away. You mow your yard? It's unheard of. Who do you suppose is going to survive that kind of a day? Them or us? They are. They're living it right now. We got there. And I walked up to one of those, I have to use the term, old ladies, because they are old and their faces are all wrinkled up from working outside in the garden and so forth and taking care of their animals, not pets, animals. And I walked up and I said, we've been praying for months about this because we didn't know about it until they offered it to us to go on a mission trip with some other pastors, and we were going over to work with their pastors in a mission effort. And I walk up to these old ladies that are standing out and the tears are coming down their face. And I said, we've been praying for months about this. And through the interpreter, when they responded to me, they said, we've been praying for 20 years that someone from America would care enough to come over here and help us. We would purchase every seat in a theater so that the movie would not be shown, but I would have the opportunity to speak and to share the gospel. And we paid for every seat in the theater for that privilege. We did that for 5 days straight. You know what it cost us? Less than $20 because of their economy. They thought we were so wealthy. And our leaders that trained us told us, be careful because they'll bring children to you, their children, and they will bring them to you and say, here, you take to America. Our hostess, her name was Valentina. Her daughter lived in the apartment upstairs. And Valentina gave us her bedroom. And the door was basically a curtain rod with a curtain. And so Kathy and I had been, they had taken us downtown in Belarus and they had shown us the linens and the embroidery on the linens with the crosses, because when Hitler came through, he just annihilated the entire town. Men, women, boys, girls, didn't matter, he'd kill them all. And there are mass graves there in Belarus where those bodies are buried. And Kathy was admiring, because people will come years later and they'll tie a little strip of linen on there, and it's like embroidered with that person's name that is buried there, and they'll tie it on the cross, and it will stay there until through the weather and the wind and the rain, and that linen will get, you know, so degraded that it just falls off. It'll never be removed. Only the weather does that. And Kathy was admiring the embroidery, and Valentina was telling her all about it. And she says, you wait, when we get home, I'll show you something. So Valentina, when we got home, went to her china chest. And in the lower drawer of her china chest, she pulls it out. She takes several things out. And she takes this runner out. And the runner's about, 18 inches wide. Okay. And about 6 foot long. And it goes across the table. And it was her grandmother's runner that her grandmother had in her house, which was passed down to her mother, which was passed down to her, which she was passing down to her daughter. And Kathy admired it. And they warned us about this. Don't comment about their pictures on their walls or anything that they have in their house, because they'll give it to you. And Kathy's going, oh, it's so beautiful. Look at that. It's so beautiful. And Valentina, with tears, said, here, you take to America and give to your daughter. And Kathy says, no, I can't take this. This is for you. This is a family keepsake. This is from your grandmother. I can't take this. And Valentina says, you must take this to America, to your daughter. These people who have so little are so giving. The reason why I say all of that is to say this. We experience the finer things in life. We were blessed, Kathy and I, Friday night, to be able to go to the Muni. Tickets were given to us. I don't know how many people were there. How many people will have Muni seat? 1,500? 1,300 to 1,500, almost every seat was filled. And if almost every seat was filled with what I know those tickets cost, wow, do we live the life of luxury. When this dark time comes, I want you to know, it's going to be a rodeo of horror. These four horsemen of the apocalypse are there for one reason. God's people are gone. The only thing that holds evil back is the presence of the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of the believers that are here. That's the only thing that holds back evil. And when we're gone, there isn't anything to hold back evil. And hell is let loose. And it's going to be a rodeo like you've never seen before. I know what a rodeo's like. I used to participate in my young, stupid days. One Christmas, Kathy gave me money to go to Des Moines, Iowa, to buy gifts for the family. This is BC now, before Christ. I took that money, $100, as an entrance fee to the winter rodeo at Veterans Auditorium in Des Moines, Iowa. They were promoting the rodeo, PRCA, and Pro Rodeo Cowboys Association, by the way. Anyway, so I used that money as my entrance fee. You know, 24 years old, young and stupid. I was kind of wiry at that time, like a Pony Express rider. We rode a lot of horses, broke a lot of horses, and so I knew how to ride real well, and I'd rode rodeo before. But that Christmas, I took that entrance fee, or that money for gifts, and used it as an entrance fee. Now, I knew that if I took first place, I'd get a nice big buckle, and I'd get $1,000 as a prize. Second place was a nice, a smaller buckle, but it was a nice size buckle. I still have that buckle today. A nice buckle, and you get your entrance fee back, and the third place is a buckle, and fourth place is like, see ya. I got home, and I was bruised from my knees to my butt. On the inside, of course. And I took second place, got my money back. One of the guys that rode that day, and I've experienced this as well because I've got scars up here on my head to prove it. As he was in the chutes, getting ready to get down on the bull, the bull reared up, hit him in the head. He falls down on his hand. They turn him out. And when a rider falls towards his thumb, his thumb's pointed this way, when he falls towards his thumb, it just tightens his grip, and his fingers are now next to the bull, and there's no way of opening your hand. And if they're unconscious, guess what? They're like a ragdoll out there. I got marks on my side from that. And it's not a pretty sight to see a cowboy hung up. I'll tell you what. It does not compare to what this is going to be like when the four horsemen of the apocalypse appear. There's only one recourse. You're going to have tribulation or triumph. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be here. The only way you get to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're left behind, you're going to face the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That is going to be your destiny. That is what you're going to have to live through or die through. The choice is yours. Let's pray. As our worship team comes, Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you want each and every individual to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And Father, if there is someone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, we pray that before it's too late, before you take your children home, that they too would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So today, Father, we pray for them. We pray that you would move in their lives. And if they need to accept Jesus, that they would simply use this time today, this invitation that's being given, as their time to come forward and accept Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. So, Father God, we pray that you would speak to hearts that are here that need to make that decision today. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.